I bought whiskey November from we by the way to fly. She was in love with a pilot and he was in love with a scar. And they played the moonlight serenade of the Cape York Peninsula. And down the coast of the Daintree, Queensland, Australia. Yeah.
John Williamson, Papa Whiskey November, a song inspired by an aeroplane and a pioneering airline, Bush Pilots Airways, that began flying the far north Queensland skies in 1951. Almost from the get-go, everybody called it Bushies. It connected remote properties and communities, provided aerial ambulance services, and it pioneered business and tourism in the far north.
You felt as if you mattered to the community. You'd be the only people that the station people saw for in a week from outside the place. You might only go in and drop a couple of letters and a loaf of bread. It didn't really matter just what you were doing, was a mail run or the charters. You just felt as if you were important.
And they played the moonlight serenade of the Cape York Peninsula. Down the coast to the Daintree, Queensland, Australia. Yes, sir!
The idea was born during World War II when young Robert Norman from Cairns joined the RAAF and went to fly in Canada.
I got the idea of bush pilots when I was training in Canada. They had the famous bush pilots there. I read some articles on the local paper about bush pilots, and I kept saying to my fellow pilots, trainees, look, these fellows have done a wonderful job. Look what they're doing here, and so on. And I said, you know, when I get back, if I get back, I'll start bush pilots in Australia. All the pilots then, we had our training and we could do things and so on. But we had no actual license as the locals had. But what we did, we made an approach to the authorities and we were handed more or less a gift, our license, you see. And so that's how we come to start flying tiger moths and so on.
Bob Norman survived the war and made it back to Cairns, where he began flying and building what would become Bush Pilots Airways. The late Sir Robert Norman and his son Bob take up the story.
Now, the only aeroplane that we could use at the time was a Tiger Moth. Nothing else was available. So we used to fly around trying to help people in the Tiger Moths, and in lots of cases carrying people who were sick. And Tiger Moths, we felt, weren't really suitable for taking sick people around. We managed in the best possible way we could.
Eventually, on the 2nd of January 1951, another call for medical help led Bob Norman to the man who would help him start Bush Pilots. Bev Anning was a grazier at Cargoon. His wife Vera had just miscarried and was hemorrhaging badly. Their property was cut off by floodwaters and there was no chance of getting Vera to hospital by road.
The only plane that they could think of that might be able to do it was a Tiger Moth. And they asked my father to fly out. He did. He tells the story that he arrived at this particular place and they were still building the airstrip as he was on his way there, but he arrived there and saw the the smallest airstrip he says he's ever seen in his life, only to be told by the woman that he'd gone out to rescue that, thank you, she didn't want to die in a plane crash. She'd die on the ground, and she refused to go in the aircraft.
And he said in front of her, "Bob, take me up in the aeroplane." And he said, "If she sees me going up, she won't mind going in the aeroplane." He was so frightened, he's hanging on to the runners on the aeroplane, and he's shaking like this, you see. And anyway, we finally landed back. He hopped out, and she allowed us to put her in.
So he actually took the husband up, flew a circuit, came back and landed, and then the wife was convinced that it was okay. So he took her and headed over, and they managed to get her over to Hughenden, get her to hospital. Her life was saved. And strangely, my father, on the way home, was forced to land at the same station due to bad weather. And, of course, the husband was there, and they got talking and decided to start an airline.
I love those dear hearts and gentle people who live in my hometown.
Bushy's succeeded for many reasons, not least its ability to attract and keep good staff. Bob Norman remembers recruiting pilots.
I used to take them out, then take the blindfold off and say, "Now take me back." And they learnt to study the ground, and from that, the colour of the trees, the run of the creeks and so on, and a general idea of where they were. And usually, they were fairly accurate. I'd put a cover over the instruments, so the only thing they had was the altimeter and the compass, and they'd bring me back home. That's what I wanted.
A lot of our pilots came out of Papua New Guinea. They had really earned their stripes up there, flown through some of the most difficult terrain in the world. There was ones from post-World War II. Many came out of the North themselves. So fundamentally, they were all grassroots young men who knew the North.
Fellows that were quite happy to mix in with the passengers and be able to be friendly with the ground crews. And we never had any type of elitism in the place. And I guess that's what made it more of a Bushy's family. And ages were from post-war pilots to the youngsters coming along out of the Qantas cadet scheme. Greenhorn pilots sent up here to gain experience, and they went on to be, as most of them are now, Boeing 747 captains.
Our engineering was fantastic. The aeroplanes, you know, the early model Cessnas and Pipers, they were designed to be little private aeroplanes to be flown around not terribly hard. Well, we were operating them probably 3,500 hours a year into very rough strips, turbulent weather, loaded to the gunnels all the time. We'd set off on the mail run at maximum weight and head whichever way we were going. And they looked a bit beaten up, some of them, but in actual fact, they were very good technically. But things used to go wrong. And then, of course, the weather played havoc with us.
Absolutely fabulous fun. Mainly in those days, we did trips to Cooktown, day tours, and the big haul over to Groote Eylandt, which you left at 5 a.m. and you got home about 5, 5:30 in the afternoon, and you walked all the way across the Gulf of Carpentaria and all the way back again. It was just a ton of fun with Bute people, Bute passengers, around the communities, lots of friendships that still go on to this day, and that was so long ago.
Some of the freight runs would just be total loaded up with kegs of beer. 18-gallon kegs would be loaded up to the front of a DC-3, which is a fair slope of 29 degrees, and a full 18-gallon keg takes a bit of carrying up. But we had a freight guy called Moose, gentle giant, great personality. Yeah, he could pick up an 18-gallon keg on his own and walk it up the floor of a DC-3 and put it down and go down and get the next one, whereas everyone else took two people, but Moose could do it on his own.
A lot of fun, hard work, sweaty, smelly, but great fun.
There was always a challenge. The wet season, of course, was a good thing for us business-wise because people needed aeroplanes, roads were out, but it was a bad thing because aeroplanes got bogged on the aerodromes.
We diverted down to Groote. We didn't have much fuel left, and on the way there hit a thunderstorm at 3,000 feet, and the aeroplane immediately was lifted straight through to about 11,500 feet, and then there was a tremendous bang as it wings went up and we started going down again. We went down to 1,500 feet and came out the other side of it. I suppose ashen would be a reasonable colour to describe our faces and our eyes like saucers. But anyway, we survived it. And then we came back later in the day and They'd called it Cyclone Rose, I think it was. Yeah, interesting day.
Took a good relationship with the bank manager because everything you touch is expensive, including the labour of a lot of your key people, pilots and other specialised people, the engineers. It is a tough game.
We were always undercapitalised. We always wanted to do more than we had money in the bank to do. I don't think most people invested in it for its stellar financial results. But, I mean, money's not everything. Yes, sir.
This has been part one of Bushies, first heard on ABC Radio Far North Queensland. Click over to part two for more stories of Bush Pilots Airways.